Hey, it's good to be back on the program again, on the broadcast again today. And I want to speak to you about the man who came in last, but won the race. And I've got a passage of scripture to read for you. And it'll tell you the story of the man who came in last, but won the race. And it's found back in 2 Samuel 18, and we'll begin reading at verse 9. 2 Samuel 18, beginning reading at verse 9. And Absalom met the servants of David. Now, do you know who Absalom is? Well, just in case you don't, let me stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Absalom was David's son, and he'd gone into a terrible rebellion against his father. Tried to take the throne from him, and they have this big battle, and Absalom has lost. Absalom met the servants of David, verse 9, and Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mule that was under him went away. Or just walked on. Now, again, to remind you, Absalom was a man. He wasn't like me. I'm not related. He had this amazing lock of hair. It was thick and he could weigh it and everything. That was his pride and joy, and it caught him. And he was hung between the heaven and earth, and the mule walked on. I once heard a southern, old-time southern, that southern states America, old-time Baptist preacher, he preached to this, and he said, "Listen, I'm going to speak to you about the day God hung a hippie." Well, I am not going to use that for a title, but I did have to laugh. And so, verse 10, a certain man saw it and told Joab. Joab was the military commander for David. Told Joab, and he said, "Behold, I saw Absalom hanged in an oak." And Joab said unto the man that told him, "And behold, thou sawest him, and why did you not smite him there to the ground? Why didn't you stick your sword in him, smite him? And I would have given you 10 shekels of silver and a girdle." But the man said unto Joab, "Though I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver in my hand, yet I would not put my hand against this king's son. For in our hearing, the king charged you and Abishai and Ittai, saying, beware that none touch the young man Absalom. Otherwise, I should have wrought falsehood against my own life, for there is no matter hid from the king. And you yourself would have set yourself against me." So then said Joab, "I may not tarry thus with you." And he took 3 darts in his hand, and he thrust them through the heart of Absalom, and while he was yet alive, in the midst of the oak. And then 10 young men who bore Joab's armor surrounded about him and smote Absalom and slew him. And Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing after Israel, for Joab held back the people. And they took Absalom and cast him into a great pit in the wood and laid a very great heap of stones upon him, and all Israel fled, everyone to his tent. And now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and reared up himself for himself a pillar, which is in the king's dale, and he said, I have no son. Keep my name in remembrance. And he called the pillar after his own name, and it is called unto this day Absalom's place. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, "Let me now run and bear the king tidings, how that the Lord has avenged him of his enemies." And Joab said unto him, "You shall not bear tidings this day, but you shall bear tidings another day. But this day you shall bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead." Then said Joab to Cushai, "Go tell the king what you have seen." And Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and ran. Then Ahimaaz, son of Zadok, yet said yet again to Joab, but howsoever, let me run. I pray thee also run after Cushai. And Joab said, wherefore will you run? Why do you want to run, my son? Seeing that you have no tidings, you have no message. But howsoever, said he, let me run, let me run. And he said unto him, okay, run. Then Ahimeaz ran by the way of the plain and overtook Cushai. Now, meanwhile, verse 24. David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate upon the wall, and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running along. And the watchman cried and told the king, and the king said, if he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth. And he came apace and drew near. And the watchman said, saw another man running. And the watchman called unto the porter and said, behold, another man running alone. And the king said, he also brings good tidings, or brings tidings. And the watchman said, methinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimeaz, the son of Zadok. And the king said, oh, he's a good man who comes with good tidings. The Ahimeaz called and said unto the king, all is well. And he fell down in the earth upon his face before the king and said, blessed be the Lord thy God, which has delivered up men, the men that lifted up their hands against my lord the king. And the king said, is the young man Absalom safe? The Ahimeaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and me, thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. And the king said unto him, turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. And behold, Cushai came, and Cushai said, tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord has avenged thee this day and all them that rose up against thee. And the king said unto Cushai, is a young man Absalom safe? And Cushai answered, the enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee do to do thee hurt, be as that young man is. And the king was much moved and went up to his chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went thus, he said, oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. Oh, Absalom, my son. My son. Wow. We just read a story of where a father's son dies. You know, think about it. Isn't that the message of the Bible? A father's son dies. Our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:3. Check it out yourself. And so we've seen a picture, a prophetic picture of great David's greater son, the Lord Jesus, slain by 10 young men. And that was the 10 commandments, when you think about it, that slew Christ. 10 young men. You know, you can't jump over the law of God. You can't jump over the 10 commandments and say they don't matter. Jesus had to fulfill every demand, every law given to him by the Father. Every demand was met by the Lord Jesus Christ. Try this one. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all. Have you done that with everything, loved God? Have I done that with everything, loved God? Have I done that? No. No. But Jesus did it on my behalf. He did it as my substitute, and therefore I've kept the law. I've kept the first commandment and every commandment. He never murdered. He never was angry in his heart at his enemies. Oh, man. The 10 commandments slew Christ. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Jesus was cursed The curse of the broken law was visited upon him at the cross. He was cursed in our place. At the cross, all our vileness was reckoned to him. Oh, and all his righteousness was reckoned to us. Isn't this a good message? This is the gospel. Does it not do your heart good to listen to the gospel? Yeah, 10 is the number of completeness. We've got 10 toes, 10 fingers, and again, we've 10 commandments. There's 10 clauses in the Lord's Prayer. 10, the number of completeness. And the death of Christ is a complete work, and we are complete in him, Colossians 2:10. He died a sufficient death, and a complete death. And the work he did for us was complete, finished. It's enough. It's enough. No one has to be tried for treason anymore. No one has to die anymore. Mission accomplished. My mission is accomplished. It's a complete work, a finished work. And all we need to do now is stand in it. How do you do that? By faith. That's how you do it. Jesus died in your place. Can you say that with faith? Do you have faith to take a hold of that Jesus died instead of you? Yeah, all we've got to do is believe, stand in it, and enjoy the benefits. Romans 8:1, what's the big benefit I can think of? There is now, therefore, no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Oh, wow. Okay, so back to your story. The son is dead. He's buried. The trumpet is blown. That's a picture of the resurrection, by the way, the blowing of the trumpet. That's in verse 16. But somebody's got to run with the message. Somebody's got to go and tell the message. And this is where we get preachers and preaching. God didn't choose angels to go and preach the message. He chose people. And not necessarily just preachers. How about you? You may be a housewife. Hey, you can tell your friends, tell your neighbors about Jesus. Gossip the gospel. Hey, it's great. And so, but the message has to go. The message has to be given out. And we'll see from this passage that it's the message that counts, not the skills and not the talents nor the performance of the one who brings the message. And this is especially good for those of you who say, oh, I don't want to witness, I don't want to tell the gospel to anybody because I might do it wrong and I might keep them out of heaven. No. It's not about you. The message is the power. It's the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation, not your presentation of the gospel of Christ. And so it's the message that counts. Now listen to me. It's urgent that we have our message straight before we are let loose to preach. If you're a young preacher, get your message straight. Get it straight. People don't need to have you unloosed upon them. And get your message straight. Now, we're going to learn a lot about that from the story, from this great story. There are two messengers. One is called Ahimaaz, the other is called Cushai. Ahimaaz was a Jewish boy. Some say he was a white boy. Cushai, without doubt, was a black guy. And they're both the messengers, but they're both believers, but they're very, very different. One of them has the call of God in his life. That's Cushai, the black guy. He's got the call of God in his life. And Ahimaaz, he doesn't. Now, concerning this call, one of them seeks to do the job and the other stands by available and he's elected and he's chosen and he's called and he's charged to do it. And no evidence that he's wanting to do it, not like the first guy, Ahimaaz. But he's drafted, Cushai, the black brother, is drafted and he's sent and His orders are very clear. Bear this message. The son is dead. That's the message. That's what the king needs to hear. He needs to hear about the welfare of the son. And to him he asks three times. And three times he gets the reply from Joab, you've got no message. What do you want? You've got no message. You don't have any tidings ready. Oh, no, no. Come what may. Let me run. Let me run. Then eventually, off you go, says Joab. Off you go. He's not sent. He's not commissioned, but he's allowed to go. And all aspiring preachers should wait till they're drafted. Drafted by the Lord. Drafted in the pressure of heaven for them to go and speak and tell of Jesus. It's there. But you know, there are two types of preachers that I have met. There's those who have something to say, and the others are those who just want to say something. And the country is full of one-horse apostles, and I wonder if many of them are called. Everywhere they go, they create trouble, and they refuse to cooperate with anyone, and they're answerable to no one. And they preach all things weird and wonderful. I mean, they preach everything except Christ and him crucified. Oh, but many of them have got style, just like Ahimeas. In verse 27, he's recognized. He's coming running towards the city. And they recognize, oh, that looks like Ahimeas. He's recognizable. He's got reputation. Oh, he's the son of Zadok. Oh, yeah. And look, he's rapid. He's got recognition. He's reputation. He's rapid. And he gets there first. He started last. He got there first. Looks like he won the race. Whew. That's what, like a lot of modern preachers. Lots of class about them. But consider this. Back in our story. It's dangerous to bring the king bad news. I mean, you don't do that. I mean, you have to, yeah. But, you know, the king didn't always take it so well. He could kill you for bringing him a bad message. But I imagine Cushai, he's wise and he knows this and he's in no great hurry. I can see him out there whistling and singing, going slowly, and oh, what a beautiful morning. He's in no rush. But Ahimeas, he gets there, he goes like a bullet. And he gets there first and he looks good and he's effective and he's recognized and he's got reputation. He's rapid. He's like a cat. You know what a cat says? When it's going down at high speed down the highway, it says, meow. That's a Ahimeas. Got the style, man. Poor old Cushai comes in. Nobody knows who he is. No style. He's not recognized. He's got no reputation. He's not so rapid. But he has the message. Yes, beloved, he has the message. Ahimeas, he's just out for the run. He's got an ego trip. He's displaying his talents. He's not called. He's not commissioned. Should have stayed home until he got his message right. Here's another thing about these two messengers. Well, about Cushai, he was clear and concise. Ahimeas didn't seem to know any of the details. He had a general message. Your Majesty, I saw a great tumult. But I didn't know what it was. That's not a very clear message, is it? This message lacked clarity. It's like the old Irish woman who lived by herself and she protested that she didn't watch too much TV. In fact, she said, I switch it off more often than I switch it on. Well, the king took one look at Ahimeas and he said, stand over there. And for old Ahimeas, he stood still. But then there was Cushai. He gets straight to the point. The son has been slain. There's no confusion there, no confusion in this message. The issue of the son was not clouded over, and we must be the same when it comes to giving our message. We must boldly say Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. He was buried and he rose again on the third day. We must preach Christ with clarity. We must declare who he is. Did you know he's the God-man? He's fully God. He's fully man. We must preach who he is. We must preach that he's the prophet. He's the priest. He's the king. We must preach that he is the propitiation. He is our righteousness. If you're caught, I'm talking to gospel preachers here. Lots of the brothers from India are listening in. Preach Christ crucified. The brothers from Africa are listening in. Preach Christ, our wrath offering, our propitiation, our righteousness. But anyhow, another thing, we look at these boys, and both men really knew the truth, but Ahimeas wouldn't tell the truth. He has no courage. He says, all is well, verse 28. All is well. That's a lie. All was not well. David needed to hear the truth. And this dodo of a false prophet suppresses the truth. And we've got to be right on our information about the Son of God. Did you hear me? We've got to be right on our information concerning the Son of God. And if you're wrong there, it doesn't matter what else you're right about. The devil loves to suppress the message of the Son. That's right. Here's a message that Ahimeas would bring today, a modern day Ahimeas. Hold on and do better. Yeah, just try your best. Oh, no, you don't try your best. Salvation is not a matter of you trying anything. Remember Noah's Ark? Did you ever notice the story of Noah's Ark? That there were no big spikes outside the ark? Stuck into the wood? No. The ark, God shut the door of the ark. And that meant all in the ark were safe. And there were no spikes, iron spikes sticking out for Noah and his wife and family had to hold on. And if they held on, they would get through the storm for 40 days. Oh, how you doing there, Mrs. Noah? I am slipping. I'm slipping, Father Noah. That didn't happen. We preach Christ in him crucified, and all in Christ are saved. Have you trusted him? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you come to him with your sin and your sorrow and your sickness? Come to him. Our message is not new birthism. In other words, oh, I have a great message for you. You can ask Jesus into your heart and be born again. That's not the gospel. That's not what we're sent to preach. We're sent to preach Christ and him crucified, buried, and risen again, and all that he is. We're not sent to preach the power of the Spirit. I've heard so many times, oh, brother, let me lay hands on you, and you will get the power. Listen, I'm all for power. Definitely. If anybody wants to pray for me to get power, I need all the prayer and help I can get. But that's not my message, nor should it be your message. Oh, yes, come to Jesus, and here's what you'll get. You'll get peace, you'll get love, you'll get joy. Well, I've been with Jesus for nearly 50 years, preaching a lot of those. And I tell you, there's times that I don't have peace. I don't have joy. You know, there's some people out there, they twist this gospel and make all kinds of rules. Come to us and, yeah, we'll get you into heaven. First of all, we have to baptize you. You can't get to heaven without being baptized. So, okay, would you sprinkle a bit of water? Oh, no, don't sprinkle water. We dip you in the water. Now, by the way, I believe, I'm a big dipper. I believe in believer's baptism. But believer's baptism will not get you into heaven. And so they proceed with their theories. The scripture says, how lovely are the feet of them that bring the good news. Well, I believe it would also say, how smelly are the feet of those who pervert the gospel. Yeah. Now, where were we back in the... Okay, so Ahimeas wasn't about to tell the truth of the burial, the death, the burial, the trumpet sound, that's the resurrection. So why the cover-up? Well, he knew the king didn't want to hear that message, and so he fears. and he only gives a part of the message. But the king needed to hear the whole message. He needed to hear about the Son. And we have got a primary commission today. It else, no matter what else we embody into our message, maybe we talk a little bit relationships, praise, yeah, proper church government, but the main thrust of our message must be Christ and Him crucified. Did you know what the enemy of the best is? The enemy of the best is the good. It's not the bad thing. No, and if Satan can get us involved with good things at the expense of the best, well, what's the best? The best is the gospel. It's Christ crucified. It's His identity. That's the best. But if He can get you to major in your church on praise, worship, and da-da-da, those things are good, but the enemy of the best is the good. I read some time ago about a foundation stone to a new church building. And on the foundation stone it said, "We preach Christ and Him crucified." Wow, that's great. We preach Christ and Him crucified. But through the years, the ivy grew, and all you could see was, well, we preach Christ. No, that's not good enough, folks. No, we preach Christ. Christ what? The good man, the good example, the good teacher. No. We preach Christ and Him crucified. But then the ivy through the years grew even farther, and then all it said was, "We preach." Boy, that's where so many churches are today. We preach. Doesn't matter what we preach. We just preach something. Oh, Cushai. He was a fearless man. He applied the old saying to himself, the path of least resistance makes both men and rivers crooked. He wasn't going to take the path of least resistance. He was fearless. Now remember, bearers of bad news were often executed. They were never popular. And if you're preaching Christ is the only way, you're not going to be popular. I remember, by the way, I used to live in the States. And I watched Christian TV there. And there were these people, I'm not mentioning who they were, but they used to always sing, "Something good is about to happen." That's all I remember. Something good is about to happen to you. They were always very, very popular, very popular. Always singing about something good is about to happen. Imagine they'd say, "Something awful is about to happen." They'd have lost a lot of audience. But sometimes something awful does happen. A few years ago, I got a phone call, and the phone call had told me my son was dead. My son of 27 years old had been killed in a car wreck. That was awful. Don't you sing me that song. Something good is about to happen. Sometimes as believers, something awful happens. Yes, we've got a God who takes us through them. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He takes us through the crises and the situations. But if you're just trying to please people, folks, that's wrong, wrong, wrong. I remember, I'm from Mahara. I've told you that nearly every week. Mahara in County Derry, Londonderry, Northern Ireland. We had so many years ago, we had a minister there who had lasted 50 years. I'm not sure whether it was the Church of Ireland Church or the Presbyterian Church. I think it was the Church of Ireland Church, Anglican Church. He'd lasted 50 years without a fight in the church. And somebody said, "What's the secret of your success?" And he said, "I speak only unto them smooth things." Oh, boy. Yeah, you speak smooth things and you'll be popular, but when you talk about Christ being the only way, that your righteousness is not sufficient, that your Christ is our righteousness, receiving by faith without works, you think you should be popular. No, doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. Hemias was a good man, no doubt, but he wasn't called. He wasn't concise. He wasn't courageous. He had no message. And many preachers are cowards. cowards. As minister, he announced his church. He says, next Sunday, I'm going to preach a steamer. Here's the outline. You must repent, as it were, and be baptized in a measure, or be damned to some extent. Smooth things. God is looking for courageous messengers. Hello, folks. Courageous messengers. Let's not be Peter Pan preachers. Don't let the enemy shake us and scare us. The nations are waiting to encounter men of clarity and courage as they move into leadership. What a day of opportunity we live in. Now, I'm going to soon bring this to an end, but listen to me. This is a day of opportunity. That we've got opportunity to preach the work that man could not do if he would. If man wanted to save us, he couldn't save us. And we have the opportunity to preach that man could not do, to preach the work that man could not do if he would, or would not do if he could. We're here to preach a salvation to which man contributes nothing. You mean how much? Nothing. How much? Nothing. You contribute nothing. That's good news. Nothing to pay. Just receive what has been done. Well, what does God expect of me? He expects sin, and he's never disappointed. Well, surely I can do something to improve. Oh, self-improvement. It's like trying to wash a pig, or as they say in the southern states in America, a hog. A hog. You try to wash that hog, and all you'll do is wrestle with a wet hog. You can't clean them up. Listen, here's the good news. We will never be more righteous than we are now. That's if you're a believer. Are you a believer? Have you trusted Christ? Have you asked him to save you? You'll never be more righteous than you are now. God, the Father, is totally satisfied with the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. And that's why we magnify Jesus, the true Jesus, who died and rose again for us. And everything he has is ours. It's mine. Only believe. The just shall live by faith. Now I'll bring this to a conclusion. All our work shall be tested. And Nehemiah, he's asked to stand still. He wanted to run, and now he's made to stand still. That's the end of his running. And the sad thing is, this generation would probably vote for Nehemiah. He came in first, he was flash, he was fast. But he came in first but lost the race. We have a very odd way of measuring success. Was Noah successful? He had 7 converts in 120 years. Oh, dear brother, you worried about not getting converts? Just stay faithful. Keep preaching Christ crucified. The Father's looking for your faithfulness, not for your results. He gets the results. John the Baptist, he died alone. And Paul, he could only send one man, Tychicus, to the Ephesians. But Paul himself, he was dedicated to preaching Christ and him crucified. And the Lord will say to him, well done. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Cushat came in last, but he won the race. Do you know his name is mentioned 7 times in that one passage, in that narrative? And we learn it's the message that's important, not the mileage. And may this be your motto. It's a good motto. Thy will is better than success. Grant that I may ever love thee more than thy service. I'll say that again. Thy will, Lord, is better than success. That's success in the eyes of the world. Grant that I may ever love thee more than thy service. Let's bow our hearts for a word of prayer. Father, there are those listening. You know every soul that's listening from different parts of the world. Lord, we'd ask that you would save souls today. May Jesus be magnified in all our thinking. May we be glad and rejoice that we're saved. Saved by mercy, saved by grace. Bless you, Lord. Thank you for forgiveness of sins. Thank you that you do not charge us with folly. I thank you, Lord, for your kindness and your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, so please save those that are lost. In Jesus' name. Amen.